Back here from RKGGF Historic Studios, I'm Sam Speck. Joined in studio, it's Full House. We got Kylie Ludwig, Barbara Ames, and Jacob Weber from the K-State Extension offices. These three agents joining us on this Wednesday morning as you can listen back to our first segments up online at KGGFradio.com as we had some information about Walk Kansas as well as the gardening course that will be taking place over spring break. So again, you can catch those online. But for now, we'll kind of move into something else here as Barbara always comes in trying to really transfer, you know, healthy living to all of our listeners out there as well. And sometimes it's kind of tough to do with limited bills in the wallet there. But here, I believe you guys got something up about eating healthy on a budget.
We do. Labette Health in Parsons is really good about doing lunch and learns from time to time where they serve a lunch. And they also have some learning that goes along with that. So their next lunch and learn is going to be Friday, March the 22nd at noon at Labette Health in their conference center in Building D. It's free, and we're going to be talking about eating healthy on a budget. And Kylie and I are going to partner on that program. And did I say a light lunch is provided there? So come along and have your lunch and learn a little bit about healthy eating on a budget. And you know, first of all, we're going to just talk about what is healthy eating, because there's a lot of controversy, I guess, about just what is healthy. And so we'll be talking about that, and then we're going to talk about different ways just to save some money. And I think the main key to that is just planning ahead and making, you know, planning menus, making a grocery list so you don't buy extra, and using coupons and just all kinds of different things like that to help us. And, you know, watching your food waste, stuff like that.
Certainly. Well, what is the biggest, I guess we'll just start with there, what is the biggest misconception that you kind of hear about eating healthy? Because, you know, there's many ways to do it, but at the same time, there's easier ways to kind of look over that. Like we were just mentioning a moment ago with the T-bone steak. Obviously, it's to have red meat's probably not a bad thing, but 18, 24 ounces of it probably isn't the best call with that.
Right. Red meat does have a lot of nutrients that are hard to get if you don't eat a little bit of red meat from time to time. But we consider, you know, 3 to 4 ounces is a serving. And so when you go to that restaurant and have that 16-ounce steak, personally, I don't know how anybody could eat all that, but I know some people can. And that's just a little bit over the top. And we do, as I said earlier in the segment about Walk Kansas, fruits and vegetables really should be the mainstay. You know, on my plate, we make half of our plate fruits and vegetables, and there's a reason for that, because they just have a lot of antioxidants and phytochemicals and fiber, lots of great nutrients that our body needs, along with that protein, maybe from that red meat or from poultry or eggs or nuts and seeds and beans. We want a variety. That is a big key to healthy eating, is just to have a variety of all different kinds of foods.
Yeah, and I think a good way to kind of compare it to is the ratio that you see on the plate, because the majority of the time you look down and it's always usually the protein that has the most room on the plate.
It's,
you know, that big old steak, half the plate,
right,
whichever it is. And you're saying, you know, like 66%, 75% should be held up by something else.
That's right. Half that plate, at least half that plate, fruits and vegetables, and then about a fourth of it grains, and we recommend whole grains. That have the bran, the germ, and the endosperm, all those nutrients. And then a little bit less than a fourth would be that protein, and like 3 to 4 ounces of meat or poultry, fish. And it's always a good idea to have fish a couple of times a week. And then include some eggs and nuts and seeds and beans for the variety in your protein. And in your fruits and vegetables, also variety, because we know that the different color pigments have different rays of vitamins and minerals and so forth. So eat that rainbow on your plate, like they've always said, all those different colors, especially the dark green and orange and red, just to get the variety of nutrients to keep your body healthy and help your brain function well, too.
So steak and potatoes every night of the week is probably, you know, it's not bad to have one night, but again, every single day of the week, you know, it's good to change it up, even good to change up the small aspects on your plate, whether you
right.
had green beans on Monday, change it up, have corn tomorrow, do
and
something
variety
else.
Variety is key.
The variety is good with that. And then you had mentioned some things here as well. I don't know, Kylie, Barbara, however you guys, you know, things that you guys do personally that you can kind of go on with saving a little bit of money. Because I know I try and find coupons, or I try and find buy one, get ones. And is that kind of the way to go, or is there other little secrets that you have when you're in the store?
Sure. Planning plays a big role in saving money when you go to the grocery store, and you see the weekly sale items that come out. Even if you just shop from that alone, you're going to save money because those are the things that are on sale that week. So if you can plan your menu around those sale items, then you're going to save money almost instantly. And then when you add in the coupons or savings apps, there's a lot of ways to really save that money. And if you tie a couple of meals together, maybe you have tacos one night, you make a double batch of meat, you have taco salads a couple nights later. So you're saving, you're not having the food waste that Barbara was talking about. You're able to stretch that food.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. Instead of having a whole bunch of leftovers that, you know, of course, leftovers that can't really be reused, they kind of just get stared at in the fridge, you know, they get passed over, something easy. But, you know, doubling up on the meat, you can reuse that in many, many different aspects. So it's a good kind of tip with that. And then, yeah, you had mentioned that little catalog. I don't think I've ever been into a grocery store that doesn't have one of those. Like the second that you walk in, they're like, here's our good prices for the week. So this is all it takes to find that catalog and kind of shop about it. Then you make a good point as well as to plan out your meals, because if you're going to go get a bunch of chicken, well, then plan accordingly. Plan your meals towards chicken or something around that meat or that veggie, something like that. So cool. Barbara, do you do anything different like that? Or is that kind of what you do when you walk into the store?
That's kind of what I do as well. I like to shop with a list, and it can help to organize that list the way the store's organized too. Like have all your dairy products in one spot and things like that, so you're not running all over the store. It saves time. And it can save money because you don't have to run back to the store for something else. So just planning meals ahead, shopping with a list, and the shopping and just buying food just the amount that you need or that you can freeze for a certain amount of time so you don't have that food waste.
Yeah, food waste is when I worked in, you know, the food industry, I did a lot of waiting, but more of being back in the kitchen. That was a big thing, was food waste. And that's usually, of course, at a restaurant, that's where most of their money is going, is in the trash can, unfortunately. So it's a big thing, and you don't really realize it, but it's a lot of time where a lot of your money is actually going.
Yeah, and another thing is to buy in bulk. If you can usually save money by buying, you know, a big batch of chicken thighs or ground beef or whatever, and then you can divide that up and freeze it that way, or even to save some time, you can brown a bunch of ground beef and then put it in recipe size bags and have it in the freezer to pull out when you're busy. But you can save some money like that too.
Certainly. So this course is coming up, so you guys will hear Kylie and Barbara at this course again. For anybody just now tuning in, when's it happening? I know it's free of charge, and there might be a little light lunch involved as well, so a couple of things to really get everybody in there. But Barbara, where's it happening, and how can people get involved?
It's happening Friday, March the 22nd at noon, the Labette Health Conference Center, Building D, and that's in Parsons. To RSVP, call 620-820-5171, and that's at Labette Health. And it'll be our Lunch and Learn, Eating Healthy on a Budget.
Cool. Yeah. Again, very very informative and pretty good tips as well. I try and do the coupon thing, but I think now probably going to start shopping off of the list that they provide. Again, I don't think I've ever been to a grocery store that doesn't have one of those little catalogs, right, of their weekly or monthly specials or whatever it may be. So some good tips there from Barbara and Kylie as well. And I guess we'll shift our focus now over to you here, Jacob. We got
right.
A couple of minutes left till we head to the bottom of the hour. And man, I know you've been planting here, but that 7 to 8 degrees these last couple of days, how's that been faring well for you?
I've been bragging a little bit. I have my lettuce planted. Normally I plant lettuce a little earlier in the year, but this year's not been so good for temperature-wise. But it is time. If you don't have lettuce planted, I suggest get a little spot worked up in the garden. That's all I could do. I don't have my garden really worked yet. But I did open up a little spot where I intend to plant the lettuce and worked it and got the lettuce seeded in. And I got a little technique that I use that may be worth mentioning.
Oh, of course.
The lettuce seed is so small, and it's difficult to get it distributed very evenly just by using the seed directly and do that between your fingers. But what I like to do, I have some compost that I screen, and it's just like soil. But when I screen it, it's really fine and very uniform. And I'll get about maybe 2 quarts of that compost, and I'll put it in a bucket, and I'll dump a packet of lettuce seed in with it, and I'll stir it together so it's evenly blended. And then I can distribute the lettuce seed more uniformly by just simply sprinkling that soil, that blended soil and lettuce seed over the row. I plant the lettuce in a wide row, which is the width of my garden rake, and that's about 15 inches wide and about 20 feet long. And I'll just evenly broadcast that soil seed mixture over that entire area, and then lightly scratch it into the soil. Lettuce seed needs to be very close to the surface. It's a small seed, and it does require a little bit of ultraviolet light, or not ultraviolet, infrared light for germination. So it needs to be within the top half inch of the soil surface in order to germinate and come up. So you can't really put lettuce seed too deep into the soil. Another reason for planting early is there's the optimum range for lettuce seed to germinate, which is a little bit warmer than the current soil temperature, but then there's the effective range, germination range, and so the effective range actually is about 35 degrees Fahrenheit. And check with the mesonet, which everybody can do. You can get the soil temperature for your location or a very close location. And the soil temperature currently at the 4-inch depth at Parsons, the average 7-day average is right at 37 degrees. Kind of cold, but not too cold for lettuce. Another crop that really is essential if you are planting peas. The peas really require cold temperature in order to germinate and grow and develop a cold soil. And they should be planted even earlier than what I've planted my lettuce. But this year, I don't think it would have made too much difference. So if you're planting those early crops like radish, lettuce, peas, now's the time to get them out in the garden.
Yeah, it sounds like your technique, if you will, with the lettuce seed is almost like how you would with a grass seed. You know, those big bags of grass seed that are there to, you know, patch your backyard or something. Yeah. You got a dead spot and you put it out, and it's got the soil, but mixed in is the seeds in there. So you go with composting and you find, or you know, get it down to a real fine level and uniform, and then you mix the seed in there. So it probably promotes better growth really naturally.
The effective dilution gives a better distribution of the seed. I get a very good stand of lettuce without having to do the thinning. That's the problem with trying to direct seed with that very tiny seed. You get the plants too close together and they have to go back in and do a lot of thinning, which is If folks don't thin the crop, if they have it stand too thick, then it is counterproductive, very counterproductive. You get actually less crop when you have too many plants. So don't feel bad about yanking some of them out.
There you go. Yeah, some good advice there. As even with these temperatures these last couple of days, even though coming up onto the weekend, that looks like we might even get into the 60s this weekend. The soil temperature right now, we're good for lettuce, radishes, all those early season is ready to be thrown in the ground. So again, Barbara Ames, Jacob Weber, Kylie Ludwig, three agents from the K-State Extension offices in with us here on this Wednesday morning. You three, thanks so much for joining us, and I guess we'll just check back in with K-State next Wednesday.
Very good.
Thanks, Sam.
It's the Mighty 690 KGGF.